April 19th, 2016.
We started from luck. Coming 11 years, and I'm the newest guy.
We have a din in Maseches Moed Katan. The third parak of Moed Katan has all the dinim of Avelos. Because Moed Katan talks about the dinim of Chalamoid. Beitzah talks about the dinim of Yontan. And Moed Katan talks about the dinim of Chalamoid. In the third parak, the main theme is really about Avelos on Yontan and Avelos on Chalamoid. So the din is that if one is in the middle of Shiva and it comes Yontan, so the Yontan terminates the Shiva. One is in the middle of Shloshim, and it comes Yontif, so the Yontif terminates the Shloshim. So the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Orza Ruah, that's one of the later Bali Atesvis, that the Erev Pesach after Chatzos is considered a Yontif. We call Pesach the Yontif of Pesach, and in Chumash it's called Chag HaMatzis. And Chag HaPesach is Erev Pesach in the afternoon when you bring the Korban Pesach. When you look in Parshas Emor, you have the dinim of the Yamim Tov appear three times in the Chumash. It's working?
No.
What, the loudspeaker is not working?
No, I don't hear it.
So you don't need it?
No, we do need it.
Put that on.
Oh.
That's on.
Try now. Try now.
We have three Parshas in the Chumash, but we have all the dinim of the Yamim Tov. The first is Parshas Emor, and the second is Parshas Pinchas, and the third is Parshas Re'eh. So in Parshas Emor, you have all the Yamim Tov listed with the Yisim Malacha. In Parshas Pinchas, you have all the Masofim. And in Parshas Re'eh, you have all the special mitzvahs Hayoyim, the unique mitzvahs Hayoyim. So in Parshas Emor, the Chumash mentions the Yontav Chag HaPesach, that's on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, when you bring the Korban Pesach. And then Leil Tezvav, that's considered Chag HaMatzis. So the Ramban Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Orza Ruah that one who's Rachman Lutzlan sitting Shiva, when it comes Chatzos on Erev Pesach, the Avelus is over. Or if one is already after Shiva, he already started Shloshim, and comes Chatzos, so the Yontif of Chag HaPesach cancels the Shloshim. So the Achronim ask on the Ramban, why did he paskan like this Orza Ruah? There's a Tesis in Zvachim that says Beferish Natsa on Dav Kuf. I think Mark talks about someone died before Chatzos, after Chatzos. The Tosfos says the Beferish. that one does observe Avelis on Erev Pesach. It's not even like Chalamayit. Chalamayit, one doesn't observe Avelis, but Erev Pesach is Nishkei Yontif. So the Achrayim answered that whenever you have a machloikas in Hilchas Avelis, even if the Roiv say Lahachmer in the Miut, let's say all the Balei HaTosfos say one way, and the Ozarua stands alone and he says the other way. So even if you have Rabbim who are Machmer, and Yochid, who is Mekel, and Kol HaTorah Kula, even on a Din de Rabbanon, you don't consider that Sofik de Rabbanon Lekula. You go Basar Rabbim, but in Hilchas Avelis, even if there's any Sofik called the Hu, so you go the Kula, Halochik de Ram Mekel Ba'ova. The common practice is, however, let's say there's a Levaya, and Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So the common practice is that they go, they bury the mace, and then they tell the Oval to take off his shoes to observe a little Avelis, so that Yontif will cancel, so that Pesach will cancel the Avelis. So they usually explain why, because Halachik Devar Mekel Ba'ova means whatever is in your best interest. So if it's you want to chisel down the Avelis, so by hook or by crook, however, so if you're going to say that Erev Pesach after Chatzos is like a Yontif, like Chalamoid, if one is buried on Chalamoid, so you have to begin the whole Shiva after Pesach is over, after Yontif is over. The last day, Yontif Sheni Shel Golias counts. So even though one doesn't observe Avelus, but it counts as the first day of Shiva, that's a Kavis Mesa Baregel. Someone dies, someone is buried on Yontif or on Chalamoid. So the last day of Yontif, Sheni Shel Golias, Chutzlort, counts as the first day of Shiva. Then you have to count another 6 days later. In the morning of the sixth day, you say Mitzayam Kukula. So if a funeral takes place on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and you say that the Erev Pesach has a din like a Yontif, so you have to go to Chumrah, and you have to observe 6 days, 5.5 days of Avelis after Pesach is all over. So they usually say, Halach Gedebra, make a bubble, whatever will chisel off the maximum of Avelis. But the question is that what it means? That's what it means, Halach Gedebra, make a bubble. The Pashtus is that it's not so. Pashtus is that it's similar. Rabbi Chana Vassman has an essay about this. Pashtus says that it's similar to the din of Sofik Mamzer, is Mutter. The din is that only the Gemara learns out from a pasuk only Mamzer Vada, and a Sofik Mamzer is Mutter. Why is a Sofik and a Sofik Mamzer is Mutter min haTorah, but with the Rabbanon that's Shtuki Vasufi. If you have a Sofik Mamzer, so Sofik Mamzer is awesome with the Rabbanon. But if you have a Mamzer Sheni Yodua, it's not even public knowledge that the person is a Mamzer. I know for a fact that this woman remarried without a get. I'm the rabbi in the community. I know she remarried. She had a child from the second husband without getting a get from the first husband. I know the child is mom, but no one else knows that in the neighborhood. So don't tell anybody. A mamzer sheni do is muta lova bekohol. If you know that there's a suffix mamzer, then it's muta menatar asma de rabbanon. But if there isn't any public knowledge at all, then the din is that a mamzer sheni do is muta. Why? So Rabbi Chana Vassman explains, usually, knowledge of the facts is not a condition in the din. Let's say something is treif. Treif is treif, whether you know it or you don't know it. You don't say, whatever I don't know won't hurt me. That's not so. If you're eating treif for food, even if you didn't, let's say a person eats chel of adam, he didn't realize that it's chel of adam, then later on he finds out, he has to bring a korban chatos. You don't say the fact that he didn't know makes it that it doesn't count. But in mamzeris, that's one of the conditions of the niyog mamzeris, is you have to have your idea of the fact. So if you have a Sofik Mamzer, Yediyah Sofik is not called the Yediyah Min HaTorah. In the Rabbanon, they said a Sofik Mamzer is also. But if you have a Mamzer Sheni Yadua, there's no public knowledge at all. One person knows about it, so let him be careful. He should see that his children should marry the Mamzer Sheni Yadua. But he doesn't have to notify the public about it. The Mamzer himself does know that he's a Mamzer. The girl doesn't know. So don't tell anybody anything about it, I'm sure.
It's only applied to Mamzeris.
So you have a few rare cases, and one of the cases is over here by Avelis. So let's say I'm a doctor, I know that someone died in the hospital, and tonight there's a wedding. So I go home from the hospital, and I made up, I'm picking up that fellow's son to dance at the wedding with him. So the din is, strictly speaking, I don't have to tell him that his father died. Kolzman, he doesn't know that his relative died, there's no din of Avelis. He's going to find out tomorrow he's going to kill me. So it's a stupid thing that I shouldn't tell him that his father died. But strictly speaking, there's no violation of Lifnei with the Siti Mishnah if I pick him up and I bring him to the wedding and I dance with him. Because Kozman, there's no Yedias HaAvelus, so there's no Chiyav HaAvelus at all. The Gemara talks about Shmo Kroivo, Shmo Rechoika. Did the person hear about the death of the relative within 30 days of the death, or did he find out after 30 days went by? So So if he had Shmua Kroiva, if he heard about the death within the first 30 days, then one has to observe Shiva Shloshim. If he finds out, if he hears about the death after 30 days went by, he's only obligated to observe one day of Avelis. And that one day, chiseled on Yisai Mikzisayim Kukula. So you see from that halacha, that's the idea is what's Machayiv and Avelis, before the person is aware that a relative died, so there's no Chiv Avelis at all. So there also we say, the Gemara has a din, it's a din v'araisa, that Sofik Avelis is Lekula. Whenever there's any Sofik and Avelis, you go Lekula, because a Yediyah Sofik is not called the Yediyah. You have to have Yediyah Vadois. Abachona has a few cases like this. Orla B'chutz Lortz is also like that. Orla B'chutz Lortz. Or if you plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael, so the first 3 years, if peiros grow, a lot of times nothing will grow the first couple of years. But if peiros grow, so the peiros are also b'achila b'ano, that's a pasuk in Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim. Kisavoyal Horetz and the Titan called Etzmachav are alt ma'abos, in the first 3 years the peiros are also b'achila and also b'ano. In Chutz Lortz doesn't say in Chumash, but the Mishnah says that Orla is nahegus b'chutz Lortz. So the Gemara has a machlekes. And the generally accepted opinion is that Orla B'chutz Lortz is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So Halacha L'Moshe Misinai means that it's a din deraisa. Usually the din is at Sofik deraisa l'chumr. And the Mishnah said that Sofik Orla B'chutz Lortz is l'kula. So the Gemara says, Kachdem Halacha, that's the rule, that Sofik Orla is l'kula. The Gemara says, included in Sofik Orla l'kula is called Amekel Baratz Halacha K'moshe B'chutz Lortz. If there's a Machlekes HaTanoim in Hilchas Orla, In Eretz Yisrael, we would follow the majority opinion who say lahachmir, but in Chutz Lorets, because there is a minority opinion, so that's considered a Sufik Koldahu. It's not a 50-50 Sufik, Sufik Koldahu. And any Sufik Koldahu, you go to Kulam. You don't have to ask any questions. Sufik Koldahu, you don't have to ask any questions. I can go buy fruits from a Nachri, and I'm not mukhayib to ask him any questions. When did he plant the tree? What year is it? Unless it's obvious that it's within the first 3 years. But I'm not mechuyev to ask any sofik kol dohi yigo l'kula. So in these several cases, the halacha says that yediyah is mechayev to observe the din of avedus. Yediyah is mechayev to mean that a person did an aver b'shoigeg, which if he would have done it amazing, it would have been chayev kares. If you do b'shoigeg, you chayev chatan. So they've also, Tosfos points out the yediyah. When the person has a yediyah that he did the avera, that's mechayiv in the chatas. The rare cases where the yediyah causes the din to set in. So that's the shaila. If you say yediyah sofik is not called the yediyah, so the halacha is not whatever is in the best interest of the oval to chisel down the avelis to the maximum, that the oval should get away with the least possible. If you say a sofik yediyah does, a sofik of a yediyah, whether it's mechayiv or not, it's not mechayiv. So we really ought to say that on Erev Pesach after Chatzais, if the funeral took place Erev Pesach, we ought to say that one doesn't observe Avelis, and then we're going to turn out L'chumer. Then he's going to have to observe all the 6 days after Pesach, 5.5 days after Pesach. The common practice is not so. The common practice when there's a funeral on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, they tell the Avelim to take off their shoes and to observe Avelis a little bit, Sha'achas, and then Yom Tov Pesach comes and cancels the rest of the Shiva. The din usually is, let's say, there's a funeral on Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah says that the relatives, your Priya, if the funeral would be on a weekday, not on Chol HaMoed, not on Yom Tov, not on Chol HaMoed, so not only the relatives of Mechuyiv to Rip Priya, let's say close friends feel distraught over the loss of a dear friend, so there's a kiyum to Rip Avelis, to Rip Priya, and to observe Avelis, to volunteer Avelis, even if you're not a relative. Most people don't. Let's say you have adopted children. So they're not blood relatives. You can't say that they're mechuyev to observe Avelis. But the common psak is that we recommend to the adopted children they should observe Avelis, like the parent who raised them, the adopted parent who raised them, so they feel close with them. So we would recommend they should volunteer Avelis. So even though there's an Indian to volunteer if in Kriya, but not a Chol HaMoed, people only rip Kriya, they're mechuyev, the close relatives rip Kriya.
So because of
Malacha
or because of Avelis?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know. The Mishnah just says only the Ein Karimela, only the Kroivim rip Kriyim. But one does rip Kriyim. The Rambam writes that in Germany there was a minig that they only rip a Chol HaMoed, if there will be a funeral Chol HaMoed, only for a parent. The children rip Kriyim, any other relative they don't. And he says that's really Keneged Adin. So if you live in a different community, not by the Yekis, you shouldn't adopt this minhag because it's really highly questionable. The Pashto says that it's incorrect because the Mishnah says that you do rip kriya on Chalamayit. So the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchas Tisha B'Av that even though one rips kriya on Chalamayit when a relative dies, that's because the Gemara says kriya luchud v'avelus luchud. They're ripping kriya, tearing kriya is not a nihug v'avelus. It's a different din. Kriya, you demonstrate that you're distraught, and nihug v'avelus is something separate. But when one hasn't seen the Kaisla Maravi in 30 days and he has to rip kriya, and the Mokam Amigdush, who's b'chorbanai, his Amigdush is in a state of churban now, so that kriya is a nihug v'avelus. So the Magen Avraham says that that kriya you don't rip on Chalamayit. And the same thing, whenever one doesn't observe Avelus, one doesn't rip Kriya on the Mokam HaMikdash B'chabonis. Erev Pesach in the afternoon, since the Ramah follows the Ozeruah says that Erev Pesach in the afternoon is a Yontav of Pesach. What we call Pesach is the Yontav of Chag HaMatzis, the Chumash calls it. And what we call Erev Pesach in the afternoon, after Chassois, that's what the Chumash calls Chag HaPesach, the Chag when you bring the Korban Pesach. So the Ramah quotes the Ozeruah, one does not observe Avelus then, so one who visits the Kaisal Maravi for the first time Erev Pesach in the afternoon wouldn't rip Kriya. So people make a mistake, they made a Gzeres Shavah. So whenever they go Erev Shabbos, Erev Yomtov to the Kaisal, they don't rip Kriya. That's a mistake. It's only Erev Pesach after Chassos, you don't rip Kriya. Because whenever one doesn't observe Avelus, one doesn't rip Kriya for the Kaisal Maravi, because that Kriya is a niyug avelus, not by kriya when kriyim died that it's separate. Or the mashal, the Gemara says ktanim before bar mitzvah. So there's a machlokes in the geonim whether there's a din of chinuch and avelus. So the psak in Shulchan Aruch is that there's no chinuch and avelus. If the oval, let's say a child a day before bar mitzvah, a week before bar mitzvah, whatever. A relative dies, so strictly speaking, he doesn't have to observe any Avelus at all. Usually he'd be distraught, he doesn't want to go to yeshiva, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, if he's not disturbed by the death of the relative, let him go to cheder and let him learn. The same difference between boys and girls. If the boys are going to go to cheder, let him go and learn. If girls, they didn't have any school for the girls. So they go, what's the girl going to do? Going to sit and twiddle her thumbs? So you may as well sit you. That's in Shulchan Aruch, they have like that. But strictly speaking, before bar mitzvah, you say boys and girls, there's no chinach on Avelus, but nonetheless it says there is chinach on ripping kriya. The child before bar mitzvah, if he understands that he's old enough to appreciate the fact that a relative died and there's an inyan ripping kriya, so there is chinach on Avelus, because Avelus luchud and kriya luchud, they're not the same thing. So the Magen Avraham says in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, but children before bar mitzvah don't have to rip kriya for the Kaisel HaMaravi, because ripping kriya for the Kaisel HaMaravi is a nihug avelus. That's why one doesn't rip kriya by the kaisel on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. You don't rip kriya chalamayit if you go for the first time. In ketanim before bar mitzvah, don't rip kriya either, because there's no chinuch on avelus, and there's no chinuch on ripping kriya by the kaisel on Maravi. Then the Magen Avraham says, those people who were born in Yerushalayim, they always visited Yerushalayim. So before their bar mitzvah, they never rip kriya. Then after the bar mitzvah, they just saw the kaisel within 30 days. They were always there by the kaisel. So that's why they don't have to rip kriya, because you only have to rip kriya by the kosel if you haven't been there in 30 days. Many have a mistake in practice. The Pischa Chula quotes this in Yerodea. Many have a mistake in practice that every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontif in the afternoon, one doesn't observe Shiva after Chatzos. So that's a mistake. It's a carryover from Pesach. They think on Erev Pesach, there are more Paschals like the Zeruah, but after Chatzos is a Yontif of Chag HaPesach. So Yontav cancels Avelus, you don't observe Avelus on Yontav, cancels the Shiva, cancels the Shloshim. So the people made a Tzushta, they thought, who had the Nami, every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontav. That's a mistake, because only Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Then there were those who, Mahadran, I remember I once went to the Menachem Oval by someone, one of the donors to Yeshiva University, I went to the Menachem Oval on Friday morning. He went to work on Friday morning. Friday? It was the middle of Shiva. Wasn't the last day of Shiva, it wasn't mixed into, he thought for Erev Shabbos, you don't sit Shiva, that's a mistake. Even Erev Shabbos in the afternoon is a mistake. I live in Washington Heights. So the rabbi in the Breuer's community for many years used to be Rabbi Schwab. So he always made a point. They all knew that he's going to come to Menachem Ova Friday afternoon after Chatzos to emphasize to the Balabatim that the din is that one has to observe Avelus, because a lot of people thought that, you know, you have to end a little bit. If you're in the middle of Shiva, you have to end. You have to wash up for Shabbos. You have to get dressed. You have to clean the house and so on. So a little bit of time before Shabbos, you don't sit Shiva. But not after Chatzos. You don't stop after Chatzos. This is a big mistake that people make. Erev Pesach in the afternoon is the Yom Tov of Chag HaPesach. That's when you bring the Korban Pesach. We don't have an opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach, so the Gemara says on the list, Omid Beis in Maseches Megillah, that there's a concept of an Neshama forms for Sena. When you're not able to bring Korbanus Parim, not able to bring the Behemoth as Korbanus, so at least you should do lip service. You should recite the Psukim. And the Rabbanim Shalom says, "Amala ne'aleim kilu bikrivim." I would consider it as if they actually brought the korban. That's why the Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachas assumes that reciting korbanos in the morning is a din de'araisa. We don't have the opportunity today to bring tamidim. Every day you have to bring tamidim. So every day we should do a neshama for himself. Say, everyone should recite the parsha satamid. So under the circumstances, that's the best we can do. Chavetz Chaim quotes many Rishonim who say Chavetz Chaim encouraged everyone to learn Kodshim. He thought Mashiach is on his way, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built. Dot. Still not built. He died so long ago. Still not built. So he encouraged everyone to learn Kodshim. And he quotes the Rishonim who say that this concept, the Neshama forms of the sun, only applies to Karbanos and to Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Let's say the Jews in Siberia who didn't have any matzah, so it's not going to help. They're going to read the parsha of matzah. Male on the Aleim Kiilu, they ate the matzah. There is no such thing. A person doesn't feel well and can't go to shul on Monday and Thursday. So he learned the dinim of Kriyas HaTorah. Male on the Aleim Kiilu, he heard Kriyas HaTorah. There is no such thing. That's what the Chavetz Chaim quotes. There are those who disagree. The Mabit. Mabit was in the Bezdin of the Beis Yosef in the 1500s in Tzfat. 98% they agreed, and 2% they had vicious machlokes with each other. So the Mabit wrote a sefer, Beis Elikim, on Hashkafas. He writes in his sefer, he thinks that this concept applies to any mitzvah that due to circumstances you're unable to observe, to at least learn the dinim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if he fulfilled that mitzvah. But the Chavetz Chaim, in the Hagdam, the Chavetz Chaim wrote, published, a sefer asif as he came. He encouraged everyone to learn kodshim because he thought that Beis Hamikdash was soon going to be built. He was a kohen. He was hoping that he would be able to be makor of the karbonis. And he wrote, when he published the asif as he came, a likot of chiburim on seder kodshim on the Gemara. So he wrote a whole hakdom encouraging people to learn kodshim. And he quotes many rishonim, Rashi and other rishonim, say that this concept in the Shalma form Tosenu only applies to karbonis. It doesn't apply to other mitzvahs that you're unable to observe. So every day, when the Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos and Yom Tov Chol Hamoed, we daven Musaf, that's on the Shalma form. So same as every day when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we don't say a word about the Korbanos. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Brochas on the side of the Rif, that the reciting Korbanos is an Inyan Deraisa. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't quote like that. The Mechab in Shulchan Aruch writes it's a good recommendation. It's a nice idea to recite the Pesukei HaKorbanos. But the Rabbeinu Yonah says more than that. He says that it's a chiyuv to recite the Korbanos every day. That's in the Shalma form. So on Erev Pesach, many have the practice, and many Sidurim have it printed. Did you recite the Seder HaKrovos Korban Pesach? You recite from the Chumash, or you recite from the Mishnayos? Mishnah gives a whole description of how what's the Seder of HaKrovos Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach was very different from the other Korbanos. They're very different dinim. So one of the different dinim is the Korban Pesach was brought dafke after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. Normally there's what we call an Esed de Hashlama. Aleh Hashlem Kol HaKorbanos Kulam. All the Korbanos have to be sandwiched in between the Tamei Shel Shachar and Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. You're not supposed to bring any Korbanos before the Tamei Shel Shachar, and you're not supposed to bring any Korbanos on the Mizbeach after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. The Korban Pesach is the one exception to the rule. The dafke, you have to bring it after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. So the millions of people, they came on Pesach. People came from all over the world. They came from Chutz Lords. Taisus claims in the beginning of Pesach, and Taisus has a Chiddush, that the Jews who don't live in Eretz Yisrael are not mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach. That's how Taisus writes, because the Gemara tells a story. Ahu Aramor, there was a Nochri, was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Biseria, I know that it says in the Chumash that I'm not supposed to participate in Korban Pesach, Kol Banecha LeYochel Bo, and I fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. Every year I go and I pay money and I become, he puts on a yarmulke or whatever, he makes believe that he's Jewish, and he fools them all and he eats part of the Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Biseria lived in the Tzivan, he lived in the Chutzlars, lived very far away from Yerushalayim, they had no telephones. So he wanted to see to it that next time they shouldn't fall in by giving to the Nochri. So he tells the Nochri, you think that you fooled the rabbis in Yerushalayim? They know that you're not Jewish. They never gave you the fatty tail, the alya. So he says, yeah, that, they never gave me the alya. So he's, because they know that you're not Jewish. If they would think that you're Jewish, they would have given the alya. Next time you ask for the alya. So he went to Yerushalayim, he asked for the alya. He said, what, are you crazy? We burn the alya on the Mizbeh. Who told you such a crazy idea? Ask for the alya. So he says, no, Rabbi Yehuda ben Biseria told me. I have the right to ask for the alya. So they investigated, they found out he was an Ochri, and they killed him. That's the question. Why did they kill him? It's our Aver, it's not his. He only has seven mitzvahs of the earth. What Aver did he do? We're not allowed to feed Korban Pesach to an Ochri. So some say Mishum Gezel, because he bought his share of the Korban Pesach on the false pretenses. If they would have known that he's a Nochri, they wouldn't have an Adin. Is a Nochri who violates Gezel is Chayv Misa. By us, we don't have such a Adin. A person who violates Gezel has to pay back the Heshav Sagzela. Okay. By the Nochrim, the Gemara says that Ben Noach is Nereg if he steals the Pachas Meshavah Puta. Ben Noach is Chayv Misa and all the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach. Anyway, so that's a famous story the Gemara has on Dav Gimlam and Besa. Who are Amor? So Tosis says to Kasha, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Biseria go to participate in Korban Pesach? Tosis says maybe he was old, he was weak, he was sick, he was falling apart. Then they give another suggestion. He lived in Itzivan, he lived in Chutzlart. Only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are obligated to participate in Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is considered a Korban HaTzibur, and the Tzibur, the Ika Tzibur, is only those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever lives in Chutzlart is not Mechuyav. That's what Tosis writes over here. So on the side, they have printed on the margin of the Tosis, look in the Mishlei Melech, he says he doesn't understand what Tosis is talking at all. There is no such thing. So the Achrayim, the later Achrayim, Mishlei Melech is one of the major Achrayim, the later Svarim write that there is such a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Tosis doesn't tell you, but there is such a passage, and the explanation that's given is because it's a Korban Tzibur, Ne'ika Tzirif HaTzibur, is only to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. It's an interesting idea. But the Gemara said the Farish, people came from Arba Kamzorz, they came from Chutzlorz also. Maybe they're not Mechuyev to go, but it's clear from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and other places that they used to come from all over to participate in the Korban Pesach.
The Korban Sefer was always that this one Korban representing the Sefer, but it's just many Kitos.
Yeah, normally a Korban Sefer is paid for by Machzis HaShekel money. If you pay from your own money, then you're not the Yotze. This is a different kind of a Korban Tzibur. The Gemara says in Yuma, Korban Pesach has a status like a Korban Tzibur because all of Klal Yisrael has to bring in at the same time. Normally, let's say, I was Mechal Shabbos B'Shegik, I have to bring a Chatek. You did it, you ate Chela B'Shegik, you have to bring a Chatek. He did a different Aver B'Shegik, he has to bring a Chatek. Everybody brings their own. But here, everybody has to bring all together. At the same time, so the Gemara says, because Asi Bechenufya, because it's brought, everybody brings together, has the same dinim like a Korban Tzibur. Strictly speaking, it's not, because to be considered a Korban Tzibur has to be funded by the Machzis HaShekel money, but it has the status like a Korban Tzibur. That's the Gemara. So the Korban Pesach is unique, it's considered a Korban Tzibur, and only Tosis claims only those who live in Eretz Yisrael, live in Chutz La'aretz, it's optional. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And the Korban Pesach is brought dafke after the Tom Shal Bein Habayim. Normally, you're not supposed to bring korbanos on the Mizbeach, not before Tom Shal Shach and not after Tom Shal Bein Habayim. But the Eved, if you brought before or after, it's kosher. You're Yotze. That's why we used to have a man, I used to daven a couple of years that there was politics in the yeshivas. I didn't want to daven in the yeshivas. I daven in the agudat. I guess there was politics there too, but it wasn't a gear to me. I wasn't on the inn over there. So there was one balabas, he always came in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. He always came to the shul. He always noticed that the whole agudah, it was only 20 people. So the guy, he was one of the 20 people. 5% of the minyan comes in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So he would always daven musaf with us. Then after he would daven musaf, then he would ask every week the same shalom, can he daven shachris? because he knew he's supposed to daven shachris before Musaf. So the din is in Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaba and the Ramah both say the same thing. I don't know why the Ramah has to say the same thing. The Mechaba wrote it already, that Lechatchili is supposed to daven shachris before Musaf, because in the Beis HaMikdosh, he's supposed to bring the Talmud Shal Shachar first, before the Musafim. But B'nei'evit, if you brought the Musafim before the Talmud Shal Shachar, B'nei'evit, it's kosher. So B'nei'evit, you daven Musaf before Shachar, so you still mechiv to daven shachris. You don't have to repeat the Musaf. So here on Erev Pesach is the one exception to the rule. You have to davke bring the Korban Pesach after the Talmud Shal Ben Abayim. And there were millions of people came from Arba Kamasorts to bring Korban Pesach. So they had to move up, and it took a long time. It took a very long time, it took a few hours. So they had to move up the Hakrobas, Korban Talmud Shal Ben Abayim on Erev Pesach. They had to move it up as early as possible in order to have time to be Makrovola Korbanus Pesach afterwards. There was a discussion, there's a Sefer Kafta Baferach, which was written in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. There was an Aliyah in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. A group of Balei HaTosfos moved to Eretz Yisrael from France. So one of them wrote the whole Sefer Kafta Baferach. He gives you the geography of Eretz Yisrael, tells you which areas will have Kedushas Haaretz, which areas don't have Kedushas Shnei, where you mechiv the mitzvahs, but not where do you have to observe Yontem Sheni Shel Golias. Not necessarily Tolli Zedizeh. Then he records that he heard that in an earlier generation, there was a group of Rishonim who were interested in bringing the Korban Pesach. But it didn't turn out. They didn't realize there's a mosque. The mosque was there before they moved to Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't realize there was nothing to discuss. The Arabs wouldn't let them. But there was such a talk. So the Chidor, who lived in the 1700s, Chidor was born in Eretz Yisrael, and then he moved to Europe. He was a mishulah for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. He was always raising funds and sending all the money to Eretz Yisrael. He was a big Talmid Chacham. So wherever he would travel to raise money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, he would always visit all of the libraries, and he would always look through all the Svarim, Kisvayad. Whenever he found the Chiddush, he would copy it over, because he didn't have these Svarim printed. So the Chidor quoted many, he wrote many, many Svarim. They quoted a lot of Meiris before we had the Meiris. He quoted it, whenever the Meiri has a Chiddush, he always quotes it, and so on. So in Hilchos Erev Pesach, the Chidor has in the Birkei Yosef, he wrote many, many Svarim, in the Birkei Yosef he has a question, how could they have had a Habamina that they want to make a Mizbeach and bring Korban Pesach? The Mishnah says in Menachos that when you make a new Mizbeach, you have to be Mechanach the Mizbeach. You have to be Mechanach the Mizbeach with the Talmud Shel Shachar. You have to start from the beginning. So the beginning is the Talmud Shel Shachar, because you're not supposed to bring anything before the Talmud Shel Shachar. So in order to bring Talmud Shel Shachar, you have to collect Machtza Shekel money. It's a whole Asik. So he says they never had a discussion about bringing Tmidim. They only had a discussion about bringing Korban Pesach. But you can't be Mechanach the Mizbeach with anything other than Talmud Shel Shachar. That's his kashya. No, no, you have to make a Mizbeach. Yeah. They used to make a Mizbeach. Yeah. You can't be makriv on the floor. The one time it says you can be makriv on the floor, we don't pass like that. Rabbi Yudah, we don't pass like that. You have to have an actual Mizbeach. It has to be Rabua, it has to be a square. It doesn't have to be 32 Amos by 32 Amos like in the Baishen. You can make a tiny Mizbeach. But you have to make a Mizbeach. So it was dangerous. It was dangerous because the Romans didn't let them. So after the Churban HaBayis, the Romans had soldiers there to prevent the Jews from bringing any karbanos. So they were always there was always a machteret, like they have in Herzl now. They have a machteret. There was always an underground of people who insisted that they're going to bring the Korban Pesach. So they would quickly make a mizbeach, shech the Korban Pesach, zorek the dam, and run for their lives to make sure that the Roman soldiers or the Roman police don't catch them and they don't kill them. So some say that was the mice over here, because this story is very politic. Rabbi Yudah Memeser lived after the Churban HaBayis. So what's the whole story? What do you mean? The guy said he fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. And then Rabbi Yudah Memeser, there was no Korban Pesach. So they say there were two Tanoim Rabbi Yudah Memeser. One of them lived as Man HaBayis, one of them lived after the Churban HaBayis. And Tosfos asked, why didn't he go to Yerushalayim? So he came up with the answer. Whoever lives in Chutz Lartz is not obligated. Psagroi say Chiddush. So others say, no, this was after the Churban HaBayis, and it was dangerous to participate in Korban Pesach, because He was an old man. He couldn't run for his life. You have to eat the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. They're going to catch him. He was afraid. Only the chever from the Machteret would bring the Korban Pesach. And the reason why they killed the guy, because they were afraid he was going to Masa. Now that the guy was insulted, that they found out that he's a guy, they're not going to let him eat the Korban Pesach. He can just go to the Roman soldiers and Masa, who brought the Korban Pesach, so that he can put everyone's life to Sakon. So that's why Maritz Chayis has a whole essay about that. He says, that's why I emphasize all the kashas. That was the Maisa Shehoyim. But this could be that this is the teretz on the Chidur's kasha. How can there have been a havamina to build a mizbeach in the days of the Rishonim and to bring Korban Pesach only if the din is a mechalchanus on mizbeach el betomet shel shachar? So perhaps the answer is like this. Whenever you make a cliché, you have to be mechalach, you have to start from the beginning. So 354 days in the Jewish calendar, so 353 days in the year, the Avodah begins with the Tom Shal Shach, ends with the Tom Shal Ben Abab. So you have to be Mechanach the Mizbeach from the beginning, from the Tom Shal Shach. But on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, after the Tom Shal Ben Abab, then you start a new Seder of HaKrovus Korban Pesach. That's not part of the regular Seder. It's Davke after the Tom Shal Ben Abab. So if you build the Mizbeach and you haven't yet been Mechanach it, you have to start from the beginning. Seder HaKrovus Korban Pesach is a Seder Bifnei Atzma. So maybe that's the Teretz. The Chidur doesn't give that teretz. He gives a different teretz. He says that maybe that Mishnah that says "Ein Mechad Chlan Hamizbech," but the Talmud Shal Shachar, maybe it's only a Lachatchila. Maybe b'di'evit it's good. Without it, in the sense there wasn't Shach to have Machzis on Shekels, so they couldn't bring a Talmud Shal Shachar. He can be Mechad Chlan Hamizbech with any other korban. It could be that it's not so. It could be that it's Ma'ake b'di'evit. You can't be Mechad Chlan with any other korban, but with the Korban Pesach, yes, because Korban Pesach, that's a Seder HaKrova Bifnei Atzma Baharai that you begin after the Talmud Shal Ben Habayim. The Gemara has later, there's an interesting, the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim on Daf Tzadik where the women are Mechuyev in Korban Pesach. We normally have a rule that a mitzvah Sasei Shaz Man Grama women are Potter from. But there's so many exceptions to the rule. There are probably more exceptions to the rule than women are Potter from Tzitzis and from Tfilin and from Tkiya Shefer. And for Lulav and for Sukkah, that's five mitzvahs. Are there any more? I'm not sure. But there's so many more mitzvahs such as Man Rama that are exceptions to the rule. Kiddush de Mechuyev and Matzah de Mechuyev. And Simchas Yontav is a Machlokes HaTanaim and a Machlokes de Rambam. And the Rab, Simchas Yontav is also as Man Rama. Machlokes where the women are Mechuyev and not. Because the Pasuk is a Machta'ato HaAlmana. It says the Almana will be Mesameh. So some Tanaim say, you see that Isha is mechuyev in Simchas Yontav. The other Tanar respond, no, the men are mechuyev. Isha baila mesamcha. The men in the Jewish community have an obligation to be mesameach the almana, to invite the almana to their home. But not the almana herself doesn't have a chiyev simcha. So that's a machlekes. So there's a machlekes hatanaim on Daf Tzadik. Are women mechuyev in Korban Pesach? If they want to volunteer, they have to go to mikveh, of course. A woman can't always go to mikveh whenever she wants to. Sometimes they have to count Shivinikim. Sometimes men have to count Shivinikim. You can't always go to Mikra. But let's say if the woman is Tahira and she wants to participate, she certainly Rishus, that's for sure. But the Tanaim have a Machlekes where the Pesach Rishon, Noshim Berishon Chayva, and Noshim Berishon Rishus. On Pesach Rishon, are women obligated to participate in Korban Pesach or not? So the Pashtus, one would have said before you look in the Gemara, that women should really be exempt from Korban Pesach, because it's a mitzvah saseh shaz man grama. And the one who says that women are mechuyev, the burden of proof should be on him. He should have to dig up a pasuk to prove that women are mechuyev. Like you say, women are mechuyev in matzah, and women are mechuyev in kiddush. Any mitzvah saseh shaz man grama that the women are mechuyev, the burden of proof is on the one who says they are mechuyev. So you have to give a makor. Why are they mechuyev in kiddush? Who says they're mechuyev in matzah? You have a pasuk. You look in the Gemara, Daf Tzadik is Faker. The Gemara presents it as if the Svara HaChitzayna, if you wouldn't know one way or the other, Svara HaChitzayna on your own, you would say the women are Mechuyev in Korban Pesach. The Gemara said the burden proof is on the one who wants to say the women are Potter for Korban Pesach. So the Sfasem is, the Ger Rebbe asks, are you talking about Faker? The Svara HaChitzayna should have been this, the common sense should have dictated that the rule is that women should be Potter. It's a mitzvah such as Man Grama. The one who says women are Mechuyev, the burden of proof should be on him, and the Gemara is Faker. So he comes up with a Chiddush. He says, since Korban Pesach has a punishment of Kores, so that's unusual that you have Kores for violating a mitzvah saseh. There are Lamed Vav Krisis on Muris Batar. There are 36 Averis for which there's a Chiv Karis. And two of them are Mitzvah Sese. Mila and Korban Pesach. So that's unusual that you have a punishment of Karis for failing to fulfill a Mitzvah Sese. So that's what the Sfasema suggests. Maybe the fact that there's a punishment of Karis is an indication that the Mitzvah Mila and the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach is not only a Mitzvah Sese, it's an Isar Sese. Let's say there's a mitzvah to shake a lulav. And if you didn't shake a lulav, mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach night. If you didn't eat matzah, you did an avera. You didn't do an avera, you failed to perform a mitzvah. But over here, if the person doesn't bring carbon Pesach, the Chumash considers it an avera. Otherwise, how do you understand why is there karis? Karis for not fulfilling a mitzvah. So the chayre, the fact that there's karis by Pesach and by Mila, there's an indication that not only is there a mitzvah sase here, you say a bracha when you perform a mitzvah sase. So when the moel performs a bris, he says a bracha. And when you bring the korban pesach, also the tosefta says you say bracha when you shech the korban pesach. It is a mitzvah sase, but it's in addition to being a mitzvah sase, it's an iser sase. So that's what this fasema says. Other poskim say like this. Rabbi Kivager and the Pigma Garden has like that. When do you say that women are exempt from mitzvah sase shas man grama? If it's a mitzvah sase, a kiyum sase, but if it's an iser sase, even if it's man grama, women are also mechuyim. So that's why the Gemara and Daf Tzadik presents it. He started off the svar chitzanu should have been that women are mechuyim in Pesach Rishon, because it should be an iser sase shas man grama. Iser sase is like a lav that women should be mechuyim, and the burden of proof is on the one who wants to say that the women are exempt. Ketanim is also an esek. A child before bar mitzvah is not mechuyev to do any mitzvahs. Let's say a child listened to tkiyah shofar. He becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara has such a thing. How is it possible? How can he come bar mitzvah in the middle of the day? Let's say lo hevi shtei saris. In the beginning of the day they didn't have shtei saris. At the end of the day they did have shtei saris. Or there's one opinion in Tosfos, half of the Rishonim hold like this, that a child becomes by mitzvah at the age of 13, lies lies. He was born at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so 13 years later he becomes by mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not the night before. The night that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar, so he becomes by mitzvah the night of Zayin Adar. No, if he's born 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he becomes by mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Half of the Rishonim and half of the Achronim hold like that, lies lies. So let's say a child was born in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, 1 year, and he comes by mitzvah 13 years later, in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, he listened to tkiyas in the morning. He was still a katan, so we would tell him he wasn't yotze. You have to listen to tkiyas after he became by mitzvah, after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So here, the Rambam writes a chiddush, a katan is not obligated to participate in Korban Pesach, but if he did participate in the Korban Pesach, and he becomes by mitzvah before Pesach Sheni, so he doesn't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Why not? Whatever he did, the katnuso shouldn't count. So the Shagasari has that kasha. How can the Rambam say such a thing? So that's Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a famous essay in his Sefer on the Rambam. He says that the din of Pesach Sheni only applies, is not, will you yotze the mitzvah on Pesach? No, whoever didn't bring Pesach Rishon. If the kid participated in Pesach Rishon, say he's not in the parsha of Pesach Sheni. Even though he wasn't yotze the gadlus, he was only yotze the katnuso as an enem mitzvah v'yotze. But bottom line, he was a shutef in a Korban Pesach. He did participate. So whoever participated in Pesach Rishon doesn't have to bring Pesach Sheni. It's a famous line in the Rambam. There's a diyun that a tziv has a tshuva about this. What if a child in cheder, a young child before bar mitzvah, so the Rebbe teaches the children how to tie tzitzis. So in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes, whether when you tie the tzitzis on the beggar, does it have to be tied lishma? The Gemara says, when you take the wool and you convert it into strings to use strings for tzitzis, so the tviyah of the strings has to be lishma. So the Tosfos holds it's a kavuchaymer. If the making of the wool into strings has to be lishma, kavuchaymer that the tying it on the beggar has to be lishma. The Rambam denies it. He says no, the tying on the beggar doesn't have to be lishma. So that's a big machlokes and two opinions. Shulchan Aruch machlokes the Rambam and Tosfos, but the tying the strings on the beged and the talus has to be lishma. A cotton is a lab bar das al pidin. A cotton can't create lishma. I remember when I was a little boy, way before bar mitzvah, my grandfather was the shamus in the shul, Rabbi Paretsky's young Israel in the Bronx. So my grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis on the beggars. I used to tie all the tzitzis on the talesim in the shul. The rabbi didn't realize what was going on. He would have told me that I shouldn't do it. My grandfather didn't realize that that's not the, you're not allowed to do that. That's the machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, whether the tzitzis is good or not, if it's tied by a cotton, because by definition it's considered shaloi lishma. So the shaila is, what if a child... Women most hold it's good, the Rabbeinu Tam holds it's no good. Rabbeinu Tam says, even though women are Jewish, Rabbeinu Tam thinks that since the women are not mechuyev in the mitzvot tzitzis, whoever is ani b'toras can create lishma. Matzah has to be baked lishma. So the mazel is that women are mechuyev in matzah. It's an exception to the rule, even though matzah is a zman groma, women are mechuyev in matzah. If they didn't, would have been, if women would have been part of her matzah, then women would have been puzzled to bake the matzahs. And over the centuries, the women always used to bake the matzahs. Always bake the matzahs.
How do you validate a matzah that's made by a machine?
Well, the one who pushes the button is a man, a Jewish man. He says he's pushing it, the Shem Mitzvah's matzah.
Why
does
that have to be a man? What?
Oh, yeah, it could be a woman also. Correct, right? The women always bake the matzahs, right? That is correct. The Chazanish and the Kosher Glover, they write about machine tzitzis. To take the wool and to convert it into string, that everyone agrees has to be done lishma. So if you have a machine that does that and you push the button and you say, I'm making the string lishma, is that acceptable or not? So the Kosher Glover was a big goyin who was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. He survived the Warsaw Ghetto and they killed him after everything, after Acharei Kechlos HaKol. And the Chazanish, they both say the same thing. They say that pushing a button is mamish maisa ha'adam. So the machine matzah, the same thing. It's called maisa ha'adam, and the baking is done by the one who pushed the button. So if you push the button lishma, so that's considered the matzah lishma, considered the tzitzis lishma. Many years ago, when Rabbi Blazer Silver used to give the hashgacha on the matzahs, so he realized that in America, most of the people do not use shmura matzah for the seder. Most of the people use regular matzah. So he insisted, he set up a policy that when they bake the regular matzah for Pesach, they have to bake everything with shmur. So every time they push a button, and it goes for 12 hours, so they always say they're pushing the button to bake the matzah, the Shem Mitzvah's matzah. So it's not shmura mishas ktsira, but it's shmura mishas lisha. So strictly speaking, it's also acceptable. It's a hidur to have shmura mishas ktsira from the time that they harvested from the ground. But all the regular matzah has asir lishma. They bake, they push the button lishma. And they have shmura mishas lisha. Yeah. So there are these unusual dinim of Korban Pesach. Yeah. One of the dinim in Korban Pesach says in the Mishnah is Emlikana Pesach ena nechal ela leminuyav. You have to be memuna on the Korban Pesach before they shecht it. We usually say, Kol dichven yeseh v'yechel, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach. We say before the Haggadah, so we say, Kol dichven, whoever is starving. Kofen means you're hungry. Kol dichven, whoever is starving, yeseh v'yechel, let him come and eat. And whoever is full, but he doesn't have Korban Pesach, so we invite him now at night, Kol ditzrich yeseh v'yechel, come please and eat Korban Pesach. So that's Shaloi Kedin. You can't invite a person Pesach night to eat Korban Pesach by you. This can't be the lashon that they said in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Whoever doesn't have a Korban Pesach, you have to be memuna on a Korban Pesach mibo yom before the shechita, before you shecht it. That's the Mishnah. Pesach ena nechal ela leminuyov. You have to be memuna. What's the definition of memuna? So the Menchas Chinuch points out, he quotes one of his Talmidim. The name didn't strike a bell by me. I don't think he ever quotes his Talmidim. Over here he quotes one of his Talmidim. That the Talmidim pointed out that there's a contradiction between two Gemaras and a Perek later. Towards the end of Psochim, what's the definition of Memunim? Memunim means that all the people who are going to eat for the Korban Pesach have an ownership, they're all shutvim in the Korban Pesach, have to be makna a share, they have to make kinyonim in order to own a shutvis in the Korban Pesach. Oh no, I have to have written down on a list, I have to know. At the time I'm shechting in Korban Pesach, I know these and these people are eating. There's no need that they should have a shutvis, that they should own a share in the Korban Pesach. So he points out there's a contradiction. The favor is two different Gemaras. Later in the Masechta, Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik has a Sefer HaChumash. So he quotes a comment of the Mechilta on the Pesach, Mishchu, Kchulachem Tzon, Meshachtu HaPesach. So the Mechilta has a comment, Mishchu, Mikan, Shebehem Adaka, Niknes B'Meshicha. Who's talking about Kinyan Meshicha? That's Asmachta. That's not, the Pasuk Mishchu doesn't mean Kinyan Meshicha. So he says, but that's what the Tanoim, the Mechilta is written by the Tanoim. Tanoim means to say that you need, in order to be considered one of the Memunim on the Korban Pesach, you have to have a Kinyan. You have to own a shutvis in the Korban Pesach. That was the Minchas Chinuch showed us, Stephen the Gemara, so Rabbi Abba Soloveitchik said, he thinks the Mechilta says the Farish that you have to have a shutvis. But that's the big machloikas. That's the big machloikas. The Gemara quotes a machloikas, the Mishnah quotes a machloikas, Hatanaim, Rabbi Kivir, Rabbi Loza, and Azaria. You have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by midnight. Pesach in Nechla Elo Ad Chatzos. So that's all the Tanoim agree, but there's a machlekes, is that a din d'araisa, a din d'rabbanon? So Rabbi Kiva said that's only a din d'rabbanon. K'dei l'harchik sa'odam in Aveira, that's the first Mishnah in Brachas. We're afraid if you'll allow people to eat the Korban Pesach after midnight, so they'll eat it. Some people have a very long Haggadah, a very long Seder, they'll talk till 4 o'clock, till 5 o'clock in the morning, they won't realize it's pitch black outside. Alos HaShach is very dark outside. It's very hard to notice when it's Alos HaShach. Alos HaShach is like an hour and a quarter before sunrise. More, an hour and a half before sunrise. It's pitch black outside. So people may make a mistake, they'll continue to eat the Korban Pesach even after Alos HaShach, and then it's Nifsa Belina, it's nicer, so it'll be an Issa Kuris. So in order that people shouldn't violate this serious Avera of eating nicer, the Lahachi Sodom Aver, so they said, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach after midnight. Everybody has to finish by midnight. Rabbi Kiva says like that, it's only a din med rabban. And Rabbi Loz ben Azar disagrees, and he says, no, that the din of Chatzos by Korban Pesach is a din deraisa, because the pasuk said, the expression used in the Chumash is, Vachos habasa balayla hazeh, and that expression, balayla hazeh, appears, v'hikesi kol b'chor b'yaretz mitzayim balayla hazeh. And Makas B'chor took place at the moment of Chatzos. So Mala Halam B'chatzai is just like Makas B'choris. The expression used in the Chumash is V'ikesi Gal B'chor B'alayla Hazeh. So toward here, V'ochlas HaBasa B'alayla Hazeh, means you have to finish eating the Korban Pesach B'chatzai. It's a din d'oraisa. So that's a machlokes HaTanoim. So the Gemara has a comment. Tosfos is not sure. Tosfos at the end of the Masechta on Kuf Chaf and Beis, Tosfos raises the question, maybe we should paskel like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Based on the rules, we should always paskel like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But we have a Stam Mishnah in Ezel Mekoyman that's in the Siddur, that Mishnah before Baruch Shama. It says, Ha-Pesach-Hen-Nechel-Ela is a double negative, which sounds like it's a real serious din deraisa. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara said, the simple reading of the Mishnah in Ezel Mekoyman, Ha-Pesach-Hen-Nechel-Ela-Ad-Chatzos, sounds like it's a din deraisa. It sounds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So that's a shana. Maybe we're supposed to paskel like that. So the Yosef Meach was a great goyin in the early 1900s, first half of the 1900s. So he writes that Bialdusa, when he was younger, he thought of a chiddush that even though Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that you're not yotze Korban Pesach if you eat it after Chatzos, but he didn't think that there would be an avera to eat it after Chatzos. If you eat it after Chatzos, you're not yotze in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, but you're eating the Korban Pesach b'taras kachim kalim, not b'taras Korban Pesach. You won't be yotze Korban Pesach, but you can still eat it b'taras Korban kachim kalim, like a Korban shlamim. Then when he grew older, he realized that he thinks it's against the Gemara, that the Korban Pesach cannot be eaten b'taras kachim kalim. And in the yeshivas, they say that's the Gemara has at the very end of the second perek. Gemara learns that from the pasuk V'achlos Habasa Balayla Hazeh. So I'm Nemalah from the base, the very last on the base in the second parak. So the Gemara comments towards the bottom V'achlos Habasa Balayla Hazeh Balayla En Bayom Bo. You can't eat Korban Pesach B'Toras Kachim Kam. If you can eat Korban Pesach B'Toras Kachim Kam, you can eat it Bayom. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach Bayom. You have to eat it Dafke B'Toras Korban Pesach. It has to be eaten Balayla. So too, you cannot eat it after Chatzot, according to Ablozim and Azariah. That if you eat after Chatzos, you're not Yotze. So the Pashto says that you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach at all after Chatzos. Korban Pesach may not be eaten, but Torah's Kachim Kalim. Right, but just like you may not eat it during the daytime because Korban Pesach can only be Nechel, but Torah's Korban Pesach, and when you're Yotze in the midst of Korban Pesach, If you would treat it like a shlamim, so you can eat it by yom, but for the purpose of korban pesach, eat another kazayis by laila. So you learn from the pasuk v'achlan sabasa balayla zebalayla and by yom lo, the korban pesach cannot be eaten with Torah's kachim kalim. So who adenami if you eat it by laila after chatzos l'rablozim and azaria, that you're not yotz in the mitzvah of korban pesach, so you cannot eat it either with Torah's kachim kalim. Right, so in the yeshivas they understand you can't eat it by yom, is it can't be eaten by Torah's kachim kalim. You have to eat it by Torah's korban pesach or not at all. Not allowed to eat it by Torah's kachim kalim. The Gemara has a din that korban pesach is nechal al hasova. So what does that mean, nechal al hasova? So we usually assume you eat the korban pesach at the end of the meal. Eat the whole meal, your soup and your gefilte fish and whatever, and then all the courses. They need the korban pesach at the end. Alasova. Why do you eat alasova? The Tosfos on Daf Ayin quotes from the Yerushalmi. The Gemara never explains why. The Bavli never explains. The Tosfos on Daf Ayin quotes a Yerushalmi. Zer mishum shvir as etzem. There's a din of korban pesach that doesn't apply to any other korban. Etzem lo sish burubo. You're not allowed to break a bone in the korban pesach. It's done by poor people who never have an opportunity to eat the steaks. So once a year they get a steak, so they eat all the flesh, they don't leave anything over, and then they break the bones and they chew and they swallow the marach inside. They want to eat everything up. They're so poor. So on Pesach, we're not allowed to act like kapzonim. You have to act as if we're benichurin, as if you're millionaires. As if we're millionaires, and we're not going to do any shvira setzim. So there's a din, you're not allowed to do shvira setzim. So we save the korban pesach till the end of the meal, so we're not so hungry anymore. If you eat the korban pesach in the beginning of the year, the animals are born this season of the year. The behemoths are born in the springtime. It's season. It's not like human beings are born all year long. Same number of people, same percentage of people born every day of the year. Over here, it's not so. There's a season. The animals are usually born in the springtime. So the animals that were just born, they're kam-kam, they're only 8 days old. They are mashmini, you can bring it as a korban. So you can easily, by mistake, chew into the bones and violate Shvira Setzim. So that's what Tosfos quotes to Yerushalmi. They made a din mid Rabbanon to eat the Korban Pesach al Hasova at the end of the meal, Mishum Chashash Shvira Setzim. Because if you eat it at the beginning of the meal, you may be so eager to eat the flesh, you're hungry. Some people were fasting all their Pesach in the daytime. Tainus Becharis, they didn't have the eyefall that you should make a seal. Years ago, people really fasted in their Pesach. So a person may, by mistake, chew into the bones and violate the Shvira Setz. That's how the Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi. You look in the Rambam has a totally different understanding of Nechal al Hasova. The Rambam writes, you should eat the Korban Pesach kedei lizboa mimenu, not al Hasova. What does it mean, kedei lizboa? So the Rambam writes, normally you would say, you have to have achila kazayis. You have to eat a kazayis of the korban pesach. So the Rambam says you have to eat two kazayisim, like it says. It says Eretz Yisrael is described as a wonderful country. Eretz Yisrael b'miskenes dochal balechem. There's no ashir bread. There won't be any scarcity of bread. The bread in Eretz Yisrael is delicious. Eretz Yisrael b'miskenes dochal balechem. Ve'achalta b'savot ve'rachdos Hashem alakecha. So one time it says, Ve'achalta would have meant kazayis. You should eat a kazayis of bread. Now that it says v'savot, it means you have to eat more than a kazayis. That means you have to eat two kazayis. You have to eat kebetza, two kazayis. The other time it says, no, Ve'achalta means kazayis. V'savot means you have to have a drink together. If you just have bread, kazayis of bread, you didn't have a drink, then it's not called sweet. So that's machleg zameir abudit in Gemara Brocha. So just like over there, Ve'achalta would have meant kazayis. V'savot means two kazayisim. So the Rambam says over here also, you should eat the korban pesach kedei lizboa mimenu, you should eat two kazayisim. The Rambam writes that on Pesach night, you say the whole Haggadah, until you wash and you say hamotzi, you eat matzah, you eat more, then you eat the korban pesach, then you eat the whole meal, then you eat another kazayis of the korban pesach at the end of the meal. What is that? Kedei lizboa mimenu. What is that all about? So the Rambam Epes explains a little more. He says, "Bizman hazeh, then we don't have a korban pesach. So matzah is the rice, and morer is the rabbanon. So to demonstrate that matzah is more important than the morer, then we should have two kazaisim on matzah, one kazais in the beginning, one kazais in the end. Bizman shabes amigdush ayekayim. So the korban pesach trumped the matzah. The korban pesach was a more important mitzvah than the matzah. Even though the matzah was the rice, but the korban pesach was the korban, that's more important. So the Zman Shel Beis Hamikdash Hakayim, the most important of the three mitzvahs was the Korban Pesach. They should eat two kizesim of the Korban Pesach to demonstrate that that's the Iker mitzvah. The Zman Shel Beis Hamikdash Hakayim, there is no Korban Pesach. So you should eat, the Rambam says you should eat two kizesim of matzah to demonstrate that the matzah is more important than the mor. Where did he get such an idea? Today, Lizbon many eat twice as much to demonstrate that that's the more important of the various mitzvahs that are being done. So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla was a businessman who lived in Europe, but he was a big bucky. He knew all of the midrashim and all the piyutim and all the slichas and all the kinnis. He knew everything. So he wrote this long commentary on Sefer HaMitzvah of Rav Sadia. He invented Sefer HaMitzvah of Rav Sadia. Rav Sadia composed a poem that he used to recite on Shavuos when they were in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Aseres HaDibros. They would rattle off Azhoras. They would rattle off all the Taryag Mitzvahs. So the Baalei HaTosafos wrote Azhoras. Rabbi Natan's brother-in-law wrote the piyutim like that. Rav Sadia also has a piyut where he lists off all the Taryag Mitzvahs. So this businessman, very learned businessman, wrote three fat volumes, the size of the Bava Basra, three fat volumes explaining. The whole poem is only 3 pages long. But he has a commentary, every line he has 30 pages to explain what mitzvah is it, and why did he write it like this, why did he count this, why didn't he count that as a mitzvah, unbelievable. So he has on this Rambam, the Rambam says, Kidei l'zbor mimenu, you should eat Korban Pesach b'zman ha-migdash, you should eat Tukizesim, his man says, should eat Tukizesim of the matzah to demonstrate that the matzah is more important than the maror. What's the idea here? So he quotes the Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah there's a mitzvah to blow shofar, but you blow chatzitzis also. And on the Tainas Siba there's a mitzvah to blow chatzitzis, but in the Beis HaMikdash you blow shofar also. You blow shofar with chatzitzis, because the Pasuk says in Tilim, so lefnei hamelach Hashem, the Gemara says in the Beis Hamikdash in the Harabayis, you blow both shofar and chatzitzra together. But on Rosh Hashanah, you have the two chatzitzas on the side, the shofar in the middle, because the Gemara says in a different place, if three people are walking in the street, so the Talmid Chacham should walk in the middle. The most important of the three should walk in the middle. And two should baglate him, one to the right and one to the left. So Rosh Hashanah, the Ike mitzvah shofar, so you have the two chatzotzes made of dodm and the shofar be'emtza. And then, and they blew simultaneously, the shofar with the two chatzotzes simultaneously, and then the chatzotzes would stop blowing, and the shofar would be marich to blow longer, the hodiyah to demonstrate she'ike mitzvah sayam b'shofar. And at Tainas Sibu, they would have the two chatzotzes in the middle, and two people blowing shofar on either side. The chatzotzes in the middle, because on a tainas sibur, the ikar mitzvah is tkiyas chatzotzes. So they would blow in the Beis HaMikdash. They would blow chatzotzes, they call shofar, blow both together. And then those blowing the shofar on the side would stop in the middle. And the ones blowing the chatzotzes in the middle would marich, chatzotzes marichim. And the shofar is mekatzer. Why is the shofar marich on Rosh Hashanah? Why the chatzotzes marich on a tainas sibur? You marich on the one to demonstrate that that's the ikar mitzvah. So that's where the Rambam got this idea. The Rambam understood, you eat Korban Pesach, ala soba, doesn't mean at the end of the meal. It means, kidei lizbo mimenu. You ate one kazayis of Korban Pesach in the beginning of the meal, another kazayis of Korban Pesach in the end of the meal, to demonstrate that Korban Pesach is the most important of the three mitzvahs. And as Zman HaZeh, you only have two, you have the matzah and the mor, but the matzah is the rice and the mor is the rabbanah. So as Zman HaZeh, you have two kizesim of the matzah, one at the beginning of the meal, one at the end of the meal, to demonstrate that the ikar mitzvah is the matzah. This is an interesting idea. What do you mean to demonstrate? The mitzvah is to eat a kizayis. Once you eat a kizayis, you're finished. Whatever you eat later doesn't count. Well, how are you demonstrating anything? So you see, the Rambam understood kizayis is a minimum. If you eat more than a kizayis, it's all nitvas as a chelik of the mitzvah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it enhances the mitzvah. It doesn't necessarily imply that it's a hidur mitzvah to eat two kizesim. But it just means the Rambam's lashon is like that. The Rambam, instead of writing there's a mitzvah to eat kazayis matzah leil pesach, the Rambam writes a mitzvah to eat matzah leil pesach mishocha kazayis yotzah. So then it's it points out, isn't it awkward? Let him write, it's a mitzvah to eat kazayis matzah leil pesach. No, he says, mitzvah to eat matzah. If you eat a kazayis, that's sufficient. So the Rambam is implying that if you eat more than a kazayis, it doesn't necessarily enhance the mitzvah, but it's all considered a hemshech, it's all considered a chelik of the mitzvah, machilas matzah. That's why the Rambam can have such a concept. You should eat two kazayisim of Korban Pesach, you should say the second kazayis doesn't count. The answer is no. One kazayis is the minimum. If you eat two kazayisim, it's all considered nitfas as a chelik, a hemshech of the mitzvah. So if you eat two kazayisim, as Banazay, you eat two kazayisim of the matzah, one kazayis at the end, to demonstrate that the Ika mitzvah is the matzah bizman hazeh, as opposed to morah, because the morah is only the rabban.
If you can eat the korban pesach at the beginning of the meal, then what do we do with the expression ein maftir nefer pesach afikoman? How do you eat anything afterwards?
No, it means this. We want to have to demonstrate that the Ika mitzvah is korban pesach, and we also want shehei tam pesach befiv. So bizman shabbos megdusha yekayim. That the Korban Pesach was the most important from all the three. Pesach, Matzah, Marah. So you want to retain Tam Pesach Befi with the second Kazayis at the end. What if by mistake, let's say, Bizman HaMikdash, someone had some applesauce after he finished eating the Korban Pesach? So if there's more Korban Pesach, eat another Kazayis. Well, let's say, he probably doesn't have, they probably ate up the whole Korban Pesach. They're not supposed to leave anything up. But let's say Bizman HaZeh, person eats matzah in the beginning, then he has another kazayis matzah in the end, afikoman, to demonstrate Ika mitzah is matzah as opposed to mor. Mor is only the rabbanon. Then by mistake he has applesauce after he finished eating the afikoman. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, eat another kazayis of matzah. Then he ate again another dessert, so let him eat a third afikoman. What does it help to keep on eating afikoman? Because the Rambam starts off like that. If you eat more than a kazayis, it's all the hemshech of the mitzvah, and you want to eat two kazayis to demonstrate the Ika mitzvah today is the matzah as opposed to the morah. Morah is only the rabbanim. And you want sheita matzah befiv. The matzah that you eat at the end, the korban pesach that you eat at the end, that flavor should retain in your mouth. So if by mistake you ate dessert after the korban pesach or after the matzah, so eat another kazayis of korban pesach. Eat another kazayis of afikoman today. If you ate again after that, so the Mishnah Berurah says, eat another afikoman. Eat another kazayis of afikoman. There's no maximum. The Kazayis is the minimum, but it's not once you eat kazayis, you yotze, you shochel kazayis yotze, but if you eat more, it's all nitpas as a hemshech of the mitzvah of matzah.
So if the zman of Korban Pesach is until Chatzos, and you can't eat after the Korban Pesach anything, so after Chatzos you should be able to eat something, because it's after the zman of Korban Pesach.
The Avnei Nezer assumed like that. That was a chiddush. Others are not happy with that. They say, no, we want you should taste the flavor of the Korban Pesach should still be in your mouth when you go to sleep. Not that Chatzos. He has a whole, they came up with a chiddush. He's bothered with a kasha. How does Rav Lozman Azariah come up with his idea that you have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by Chatzos? Where does it say in the Chumash? So Rav Lozman Azariah says, because it says the phrase, Balai Bahazeh, and the other pasuk says, "V'kesi kol b'chod eretz mitzayim alay lazeh." So malahala machatzayis afkan atchatzayis. Just like Makas Bucharis was at the split second atchatzayis, so too Korban Pesach has to be atchatzayis. And he says, "But it's not the same. Makas Bucharis occurred at one split second, and chatzayis kept on moving from east to west. Chatzayis alay in New York is 3 hours before chatzayis alay in California." And 7 hours after Chatzos Alayin in Yerushalayim. So in Egypt, on that, what do you call it, meridian? I don't know what you call it. On that timeline, so all the Bukharis died exactly at Chatzos. And then a minute later, they died in a few miles to the west. And then a few miles to the west, every minute, every mile to the west, they kept on dying later. At the exact second of Chatzos. The case of Chayvan San Balayla is at Chatzos, but over here you don't have to eat the Korban Pesach at Chatzos, you have to finish eating it by Chatzos. So how is that the same? That's what Rav Nezer says. How is that the same? So he says the Teretz is you have to eat Korban Pesach at Chatzos. Why? But it's impossible. So he says you eat it before Chatzos and you have the flavor in your mouth. And if the guy eats it before Chatzos and he dies and he doesn't survive, so he's talking not Yotze. You would say when it comes Chatzos and you have the Tam Pesach in your mouth. So then he says, and if it's ready, you ate the Korban Pesach before Chatzos, then it's after Chatzos. So you would say ready. So now you can have all the dessert that you want. That's a big chiddush. He made up his own chiddush then, that you have to eat Korban Pesach at Chatzos, and eating before is good because you have Tam Pesach with you. He made it as if it's a din d'oraisa. that you have to have the Tam Pesach B'fiv, Tam Matzah B'fiv. We usually assume that that's not wise. Because of Chaviv is a mitzvah, we want he should retain the flavor in his mouth.
How much matzah do you need to retain the flavor? I mean, if you had the kizayis earlier, and then you forgot it, that's an apple sauce, you have to have another
kizayis,
or you just have a piece?
You have to eat kedei lizbomimeno, you have to have an additional kizayis, and that kizayis should cause to retain the tam matzah b'fiv. Yeah, the Rambam doesn't talk about this, the Mishnah Berurah talks. If the guy did eat applesauce after the Afikoman, the Rambam doesn't say what to say. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that from Acharon, eat another kazayis. Why eat another kazayis? As much matzah as you eat, it doesn't necessarily enhance the mitzvah, but it's all nitfas as a hemshech of the mitzvah. And we want, he should retain the flavor of the tam matzah b'fiv to demonstrate, indicate that matzah is more important than the morah, so that tam matzah b'fiv should be retained from the second kazayis. So if he ate applesauce after the second kazayis, he has to have a third kazayis to retain the flavor in his mouth after the third kazayis. If he ate again after that, he has to have a fourth kazayis.
So wouldn't the two kosot of wine wash away the taste of the matzah?
That was a takanas chachamim. Okay, they made a takana, you have to drink avikosis, so that doesn't count. But they don't want you to eat or drink other things. Yeah.
Another two
kazais,
or is it just one
kazais? No, one kazais. You have one kazais in the beginning. He says you have matzah, morah, korban pesach. Then you eat whatever you want in the meal. Then you have another kazais of korban pesach at the end. To demonstrate that korban pesach is more important than matzah morah. The Bizman said there's no korban pesach, but the matzah is more important than the morah. Because the matzah is the rice and morah is the rabbanah. So that then carries over to matzah. You should have one kazais in the beginning, one kazayis in the end, to demonstrate that the matzah is the more important, and we should retain the tam matzah b'fiv from that second kazayis that we have. That the Mishnah Berurah adds on from Achrayim. And if by mistake you add some dessert after the second kazayis, eat a third kazayis, another afikayim, and don't eat after that.
Why didn't Chazal institute that the third and the fourth cup should be before your last kazayis?
One of the cups should be Birchas Hamazon, should be Alakos. And then the Baal Hamor explains that the Iker of the Halal is the Halal that's recited after the meal, not the Halal that's recited before. And he quotes the Mishnah, and the Baal Hamor quotes the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Tainis, that in Eretz Yisrael, if there would be Atziris Gishonim, if it doesn't rain, so years ago, until recently, used to be a sakonas nefoshes. If it doesn't rain, no vegetation, the animals can die, the people can die. It's a sakonas nefoshes. A couple of years ago, some of the younger rabbanim who were in the rabbanut wanted to be goyzer tainis because it was an atziris gishomim. So the old timers, not from the rabbanut, the old timer says no. That now that they know how to desalinate ocean water, so there's no sakonas nefoshes. Just it's going to cost a lot of money. Years ago, if there was a serious kisham, they didn't know how to take water from the ocean and take out the salt. So years ago, it was a sakonas nefoshes. So then it makes sense to goyzer tainis. Today, it doesn't make any sense to be goyzer tainis. So the Mishnah describes there's a serious kishamim in Eretz, so it's not raining, and it's a sakonas. So beznas goyzer tainis. Then in the middle of the tainis, it rains. Now, do you have to continue fasting till the end of the day or not? So the Mishnah says it depends. If the rain comes down before chatzos, so you didn't even begin to fast yet. So then everybody goes home and they eat, and then after they finish eating and bench, they go back to shul, they gather together, and they recite halal in the shul to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing the rain. But if it didn't begin to rain till after Chatzos, since you fasted till after Chatzos, so you should fast till the end of the day, even though it rained already. So the Gemara asks the Kasha and the Mishnah, it says that if it rains before Chatzos, everybody should go home and eat. And after they bench, they should gather together in shul and recite halal. So the Gemara says, why do you go home first and eat? Why don't you say the halal first? It's not going to take so long. Halal is not... Kalbach would take an hour and a half. A normal person says, halal, it takes 20 minutes with all the nigunim. It takes 20 minutes in the beginning to the end, so no one's going to die. So first say halal. It's before chatzais. First say the halal, and then go home and then eat. So the Gemara answers, no, ein omrim halal el al keres maleya u benefesh sebeya. It only makes sense to recite halal when your belly is full and you're in a good mood and you're very happy and satiated and satisfied, the challah is going to be on Geshmak HaHallah. So Tosfos says to Kasha, but we always say challah on Rosh Chodesh in the morning, we say challah on Yom Tov in the morning. Nobody ate breakfast before. The Babich always eats breakfast before. But everybody else, nobody eats breakfast before you daven. So how do you say halal? It's not keres malei of an ephesus. So Taisa says, no, a different kinds of halal. Halal on Chanukah is zecha l'nes, that occurred thousands, 2,000 years ago. Halal on Yom Tov is simchas Yom Tov. Halal on the atzimah gishamim, if it rains in the middle of the day, that's halal b'shas ha-Yeshua. The halal b'shas ha-Yeshua then has to be the keres malei of an ephesus. That you have to be in a good mood to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Balamor says that the same is true on Pesach night. We say on Pesach night, B'chol dover dorech avarim leiv satzman kilu hu yotzim in Mitzrayim. You have to have the attitude as if we just left Mitzrayim now. L'fichach anachna chayovim lahalel. We consider this halal b'shas ha-Yeshua. So if we just left Mitzrayim, and we're reciting halal now. So since halal b'shas ha-Yeshua, ein amim halal keres maleiv v'nefesh tzaveyah. We should really recite the halal at the end of the meal. So why did we say anything from the halal before? So the Mishnah has a machlekes in Perek Abri Pesach, machlekes b'sham and b'silo. How much of the halal do you recite before the meal? So b'sham you have the opinion, the first paragraph. We follow b'silo, then you say the first two paragraphs. But that's all. The Iker halal, the Balamar says, really the halal after the meal. Why do you say halal before? He doesn't explain it. So then Netziv explains, he thinks, we want to set the tone, we want to be koveir the Suda as a Suda's Haidoya. There's an institution of Suda's Haidoya, there's a Korban Toida. When a person wants to express his gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 50th wedding anniversary, at wedding, he graduated college, he got smicha, whatever he's happy about, the Yotzei Mibeis Asur. Some people were freed from prison, Chodesh and Israpi, whatever, Holchim Yibor. Whoever wants to express a gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you bring a Korban Toida. What's unique about Korban Toida? You have to eat it Yom V'Layla Ad Chatzos. So Korban Shlomim, you have 2 days to eat. Korban Toida, you have to eat in 1 day. So it means you have to invite twice as many people. And you have to express your gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of this group of people. So that's an institution of Suda Saidoya. That's where the whole practice comes from. When a person is a Chodesh and a Srape, he wants to express his gratitude. So he throws a Suda Saidoya. And he expresses his HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's on Pesach night. We say the first paragraph or two, we follow this Hillel, we say two paragraphs at the beginning of the, before the meal, the Bekaber, the Suda is a Suda Saidoi, but the Ika Halal really is the Halal that we recite after the meal. So they wanted that should be Alakos, they wanted the Brichas HaMazon should be Alakos, and they wanted the Brichas HaShir, the Bracha at the conclusion of the Halal, the Ika Halal is the Halal after the meal. They wanted that should also be Alakos. So they added, they had no choice. The 2 cups of wine you have to drink after you eat the afikot. More than that, they didn't want.
Between halal on Mitzri and halal on Godel, there was a difference there. Halal on Godel is what they said on the top, after the
Tannis. Could be another teretz, okay. But Tosfos gives, I think, the Mefarshim learned that this is shot in Tosfos. Tosfos is very unclear there. It's Megungam. So the Tosfos Yontav HaMishnayos, I think, interprets that this is what Tosfos meant. If it's a halal b'shas ha-Yeshua, then you have to have the keres malei of an efesh tzaveya. If it's a halal zecha l'nes, like on Chanukah, halal mishum simchas yantav, then you don't need keres malei of an efesh tzaveya. The Baal HaMor thinks that on Pesach night, it's considered like a halal b'shas ha-Yeshua.
What's the basis for saying halal to begin with?
Right, that in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that from Maseches Sofrim. Maseches Sofrim was written by the Gaonim. It's not from the Tanoim. It's not really a set of Mishnayos. And they write that you should recite Hallel in Shul with a Brocha. Yeah. So in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes that, you should say Hallel in Shul. The Ramah says the Ashkenazim do not have that practice based on Tosfos. Tosfos in Sochim says that that comment to the Maseches Sofrim is for Amei Haaretz, who don't have a Haggadah, and they're not going to be able to recite the Hallel in the Seder, so let them be Yetzir Hallel and Shul. But today, Kulon HaChacham, Kulon HaNevanim, Kulon HaZakenim, everybody has Haggadah. We know how to say Hallel in the Haggadah, so we don't have to say Hallel and Shul. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos did away with the Masech HaSofim, they say the Masech HaSofim only meant to encourage everyone to say Hallel and Shul if the alternative is going to be that he won't say Hallel at all. Well, we're going to say hallowed by the meal, before and after the meal, so there's no need to say in shul. So the Vilna Goyen disagrees with that Taisus. He thinks that the Shulchan Aruch is right. He thinks Rabbi Yosef Kara is right, that the correct practice should be that you should say hallel and shul, even if you are learned, even if you are going to say the hallel in this Seder. So, Valojan and Yeshiva used to follow the practices of the Vilna Goyen. So, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also used to say hallel and shul. Rav Davula Soloveitchik, his son, who died in Yerushalayim way after the war, so he walked out. When they were saying halal and shul, he walked out from shul. He didn't want to say halal because the Ramah says you don't. But Rav Soloveitchik encouraged the Rabbanim that he thought they should all introduce halal and shul unless it's going to cause a world war. So in Washington Heights, in yeshiva there's barely a minyan, so I don't have any yeshiva on Pesach. Everybody goes away to their parents or their in-laws. So in Breuers they don't say halal. The Yekkers don't say halal. The Dumb Rabbish Tibach Siddur Shitzibah, they say how, but they daven Doomsday. They daven Marv 96 minutes after the Shkia. So I don't want to start the Seder at Chatzos. I want to start a reasonable time. So I daven in the Aguda. See, the Aguda, they daven Marv, they finish Marv, they say Kaddish Tiskabel, they say Aleinu, Kaddish Yosem, and then the real hardcore Yekkes leave, the principle. Then after they leave, then everybody in Shul says how. That's questionable because more correct is that you should say the halal on Pesach night before the Kaddish Tiskabel, because the Indian is whenever that's how Rav Soloveitchik showed another beer hagro. The Shulchan Aruch says the minig is that we madlik neres Chanukah in shul and we say a bracha even though nobody's yotze, because in order to be yotze neres Chanukah you have to have hadlokah bebeso. So nobody lives in the shul, so nobody's yotze. So where does it come from? Where does the minig come from that you madlik neres Chanukah in shul if no one is yotze? So the Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, Minhag comes from Halal and the Beis HaKnesses on Leil Pesach. What is the tushta? What is the comparison? So it's very unclear. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that what the Vilna Gaon is driving at is the following, that the purpose of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is Pisumin Nisa. Everybody lights Chanukah candles at home, you have a little Pisumin Nisa. If you would light Neres Chanukah in Shul, when you have a minion there, so you have a bigger Pisumin Nisa. So whenever, so that's the minig is like that. Whenever there's a mitzvah that we do for the purpose of Pisumin Nisa, and if we would do it b'tzibur b'shas tefillah in connection with the tefillah, we would accomplish a bigger Pisumin Nisa. So the minig has it that we move it to shul to do it b'shas tefillah. So where is the marker for this idea? So the Vilna Gaon says the marker is when this Masechus Sofrim that the halal that you recite in the Haggadah before and after the meal is for the sake of Pisumin Nisa. But how many people do you have already in your home? You have 30, 40 people at the Seder. But I'm sure you're going to have 100 people. So, since the purpose of the halal and the meal is to accomplish Pisumin Nisa, and if you say the halal and the shul, there'll be a bigger Pisumin Nisa. So that's why the minhag developed, that the Goyim record the minhag to say the halal and shul. But the Ramah says not so. So the most Ashkenazi communities, they don't say halal and shul. And the Vilna Gaon thinks that we should follow it. So those who follow yeshivas Habitz Kohanan, originally there were two yeshivas that combined. One was yeshivas Eitz Chaim, and one was yeshivas Habitz Kohanan. Yeshivas Eitz Chaim, that was the name of Alojan yeshiva, was called Eitz Chaim. So they carry on a lot of the minhagim, not all, they carry on a lot of the minhagim from Alojan.
Don't
the Sfaradim not make brachos on Minhagim? Mm-hmm.
They make the bracha like the
Beis Yosef,
the Shulchan Aruch says
to
make a bracha. Is this a minhag?
They recite a bracha on the Hadlokas Neris and Shul also. So the Be'er Agoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, the Kasha, but the Sfaradim don't say a bracha on a minhag. So how come they say bracha on this minhag? I don't know. And the same thing, the Halal and Shul. It was instituted by the Goyim. Never appears in the Gemara. It sounds like it's a minhag that was instituted in the days of the Goyim. So how come the Sfaradim do say a bracha? I don't know. That's the Be'er Agoyla's kasha. He doesn't really give a good answer. They work on their kasha. The kasha is always better than the teretz.
Well, we don't say halal b'alayla.
Right. That's also a good kasha. The Mishnah says a Megillah, based on the pasuk Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mavoya Mehul Hashem Hashem. From Zricha till Shkia. You say halal. You don't say halal b'alayla. You're not yetz if you say halal b'alayla. So how come on Pesach night, manishtana halayla, so how come you say halab halayla? So different suggestions are given. So one of the better suggestions is that the Chidor has a tshuva, has many, many, several volumes of tshuvas. He has one tshuva. There was once a boat that was traveling in the Mediterranean, and there was a tremendous storm at night, and all the people thought that the boat was going to sink, and they were all going to lose their lives, and then absolved them. They davened to Rabban Shalom, and they were nitzel. So they wanted to express their gratitude, wanted to say halal or something at night. So they had a shayla, can they halal b'shas ha-yeshua, can you say the halal by Laila, they have to wait till the morning. So the Chidor wrote a tshuva, halal on Chanukah zechel ha-nes, halal on Yantav is because of Simchas Yantav, then you say halal has to be by yom. Halal has to be only by yom. But halal b'shas ha-yeshua, if the Yeshua is by Laila, then you can say that halal by Laila. So that's the pashtus that b'chol davadar chayvar m'yosatz b'kilu yotzim in Mitzrayim. We feel as if we just left Mitzrayim now. V'chachanach nachayovim v'halel. It's considered a halal b'shas ha-yeshua. That's what the Balamor said. That's why the Balamor said that the ikra of the halal is the halal that's recited after the meal, like the Mishnah in Tainus. Ayin amram halal keres malei of a nefesh seveya. So halal b'shas ha-yeshua, that can be recited by Laila. There are other answers given also, but that's the best answer from all the answers that are given. Yeah. They gave other answers. They gave other answers, but after you see that tshuva by the Chidor, so that sounds better. Chidor doesn't say it about Leil Pesach. He just writes his tshuva about the boat. But after the Chidor wrote the tshuva, then they said that's probably the explanation on Pesach night. On Erev Pesach, not only did they bring the Korban Pesach, he used to bring a Chagigas Arba Asar, Korban Chagigas. That's a Shlomim, Shalmei Chagigas. So that's a big machlokes in the Gemara, whether Chagigas Arba Asar is a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan. We paskin, it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes that they were Tanayim held a Chagigas Arba Asar as a Din D'Oraisa, and it's even Deuche Shabbos. The Erev Pesach this year, Tezvav is Shabbos. Every so often, Yudalit is Shabbos. So Korban Pesach is Derech Shabbos. What about Chagigas Arba Asa? So if Chagigas Arba Asa, if the Korban Chagigah that you shecht on Erev Pesach is a Din Deraisa, then it's Derech Shabbos also. One time Ben Tema holds like that. We don't pass like that. We pass on Chagigas Arba Asa is only the Rabbanan. The Chagigah that's Deraisa, it says on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, is Bechagos Mosul Chag Lashem. It doesn't mean you should celebrate the day as a holiday. The Chagosa means you should bring a Korban Chagigah, a Shalmei Chagigah. So that Chagigah you have to shecht it on Pesach. You can't shecht it on Erev Pesach. You bring the Chagigah Arba Asa, you're not Yotzei that Chagigah. On Pesach, like on Shavuos and on Sukkot, the Gemara says, you're obligated to bring three Korbanos, Riya, Chagigah, and Simcha. The Riya is Oilos Riya, Le'irof Anai Rekam, all the men. Kol Zechurcha, the men have to, the women are Torah, they want to, they can visit the Azor also. But the men are mechuyev to go to mikvah and become torah to visit the azara, and then it says la'irof on ayrekam. They shouldn't enter the azara without bringing a korban. Which korban? That's oilas riyah. You have to bring an oilas riyah. Then you have to bring. You don't necessarily have to bring an oilas riyah by yourself. You can join together 150 people. Each one will give a dollar. You can have 1,000 people. Each one will give a dollar, half a dollar, and we'll all be shut from an oilas riyah. If you can afford it, it's not derech eretz. The pasuk says, "Ish kamat nasiyah dekevir kas Hashem alkecha." Hashem also will say, "Can afford it? It's not right to go chip in together with another 1,000 people and only pay a nickel for your share in the korban olas riyah. If you can't afford it, you have no brevis. So go b'shutus with another 1,000 people and be yotzei like that." So everybody had to participate either on their own or with others in the olas riyah and in shalmei chagigah and in shalmei simcha. There are three different korbanos, but the chagigas are ba'asar. That's separate. That's a different chagigah. We paskin, it's only the rabban. The Mishnah has bezman shabes amigdash hayakayam. They used to ask another question in manishtana that doesn't apply bezman hazeh. Shebuchal aleil zan ochlim. We eat fleshig zbaset tzli or mevusho, cooked, fried, broiled, boiled, however you like it. Halal hazeh kula tzli. Hakama pesach nei. We eat korban pesach. The questions in manishtana all revolve about the mitzvahs halayla. So there used to be a question about Korban Pesach. Bezman Hazeh, there's no Korban Pesach, so you leave out that question. So you ask about Matzah, and about Morah, and about Haseba, and about Matbila. The questions all revolve about the mitzvahs halayla. So the Gemara comments on the expression in the Mishnah, halayla zeh kulo tzli. All the flesh is tzli. It's not true. Only the Korban Pesach is tzli. The Chagigas Abrosa doesn't have to be tzli. So the Gemara says the Mishnah goes like that Tana, whose opinion has not been accepted. Chagigas Abrosa is there, I say, and has all the same dinim as Korban Pesach. And it's Doche Shabbos, and it has to be tzli. And there's a Dissar Shvira Setzem, and you have to finish it by Chatzais. All the dinim. All the dinim the same as the Korban Pesach. And we don't paskin like that. We don't paskin. We paskin Chagigas Abrosa's lav deraisa, so it doesn't have to be tzli. It's not hukash for the Korban Pesach. It's only a takana de rabbanah to eat Chagigas Abrosa. But the real Chagiga is what you bring on the Yontov itself, on Pesach, on Shemona, on Sukkos. You have to bring the three Korbanas, the Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. That's the first parak in Masechus Chagiga. Deals with the three Korbanas, the Riyah Chagiga and Simcha.
What would our fifth question have been?
Madu Ochlin Korban Pesach. Madu Ochlin Tzli. Why do we insist? I don't enjoy broiled steaks. Why do we eat Korban Pesach? Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat mara? That's basically what it is. A lot of us that kula mara is not correct. We don't eat kula mara. We eat karpas, we eat other vegetables also. We eat potato kula. It doesn't have to be kula mara. We say, Allah lazem mara. The Gemara says after, in the days of Abai V'Rover lived in Bavel, so their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael instituted the calendar. Hillel Sheni, a descendant of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, is the one who instituted the Luach Kavua in Eretz Yisrael. So after they instituted the Luach Kavua, there's no longer a Sfeik of the Yom. So yes, the Shalosh, should we still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias? So that's what the Gemara says in the beginning of Beit, the Shalchem Itam, they sent a letter from there, from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, yes, they should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. We should act as if we have, still have a Sfeik of the Yom. So the Gemara has a Machloikis and Menachas regarding the Sfeik of the Yom. The din is that there's an Issa Chodosh, Issa, whatever Tvua was planted, whatever wheat, or barley, or grain, any of the Chameshas being a dog that was planted, after last Pesach may not be eaten, until it comes Yom HaKrovas Minchas HaOmer. What about Bizman HaZeh? You're not Makriv the Minchas HaOmer. So Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYekayim. So Ad HaLeyachem HaSoim HaTnufa. Once you bring the Minchas HaOmer, then you're permitted to eat the Tvua HaDosha. What about Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim? So that you can't say Ad HaLeyachem HaSoim HaTnufa. So then the other half of the Pasuk says, Lech V'Kol V'Kamer LaSochel Aretz HaMayim HaZeh. You're not allowed to eat Chodosh until Itzum Shel Yom. Itzum Shel Yom is the day part, the daytime part of the Tezayin Nisan, as opposed to the nighttime part. Not like the Chodesh Leil Tezayin, you have to wait till Yom Tezayin. And what does it mean? Ad Etzem Hayom. Ad means Ad Yad Bechlal, till the end of the day, or Ad Balay Bechlal, till the morning of the day. So Gemara says that's a question. Rabbi Yechaman Zaka made 9 takonas when he was a chief rabbi. The Gemara said he made 9 takonas. 8 of the takonas were takonas de rabbanon. That's what we used to understand. A takana means a takana de rabbanon. And 1 takana was a din deraisa. Why do you call it takana dorash vehiskin? He popularized the din. He publicized the din that ad viad bechlal, that you're not allowed to eat the chodesh until ad viad bechlal, till the end of the whole Yom Tezayin. So the shaila is, what about Nechutzla Aretz? Well, you have a Sveika Diyayma, so do you have to wait till the end of Yom Yud Zayin? That takona is listed in the Mishnah list, all of the 9 takonas of Rabbi Yechman Zaka. That's the takona. Sheyehei Yom Hanef Kula Yasa, the Yom Tenufa Soimer. Yom Tenufa Soimer is Tez Zayin Nissen, and Eretz Yisrael, that's the first day Chalamai Pesach. Tez Vav Nissen is the first day Yontem. They only have one day Yontem. So Tez Zayin is the first day Chalamai, then Eretz Yisrael. So Yom Hanef Kulo Yosef, you're not allowed to eat the Tvua Chadosha, the whole Yom Tezayin, because Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Ad V'Ad Bechlal, until the end of Yitzum Shon, until the end of the day. So Gemara Menachas has a Machloikas in the Gemara. Do you say Sveika D'Yayma there also? Sveika D'Yayma was instituted with respect to Yontif. This is not Yontif, this is a Chadosh. So the first opinion in Gemara, no, there's no Sveika D'Yayma Chadosh. Leil, the night following, the night following Tez Zayin, Leil Yud Zayin Nissen, you're allowed to eat the Chodesh. We don't follow that opinion. We paskin that you have to observe Sveika D'Yayma even with respect to Chodesh. So in Chutz La'aretz, and Eretz Yisrael, there's no Sveika D'Yayma. But in Chutz La'aretz, we act as if there's Sveika D'Yayma. So you're not allowed to eat the Chodesh until Leil Yud Ches. You have to act as if, by us, we have 2 days on to Tezvav Tezayin, and then Yud Zayin is first day Chalamot, so Leil Yud Ches is in Chutz Loretz, so you can start eating the Chodesh, and not before. So that's the question. How far do you go with this Sveika D'Yoma? Everything that has to do with Pesach, you observe Sveika D'Yoma. So the Rif at the end of Psochim, the Rif didn't write any Rif on Menachos, because it's not Noig Bizman Azeh. Kochim is not Noig Bizman Azeh. But all the Dinim of Sphir Zoyma appearing in Mar Menachos. So the Rif at the end of Psochim, the last 50 lines, the last 60 lines or so, is about Sphir Zoyma. So the Balamor, on the bottom of the page of the Rif, raises the question, why don't we count Sveika D'Yoma and Sphir Zoyma? The first night we should say Hayom Yamecha. The second night we should say either tonight is either the first night or the second night. And the third night we should say tonight is either the second night or the third night. How come we don't count Sphir Zoyma? So he gives a whole answer. The Rabbi learned Bechavrusa with the Balamor. She always has Hasogas on the Balamor. So if the Balamor says something good, he writes, he stole it from me. I said it first, he stole it from me. If he doesn't like it, he says, Kushis Yelodim. On this, Kushis Yelodim, a childish kasha, and he gives his own answer. The Rabbi has his style, and the Rambam also. So that was the style that they used to write then. So this is a famous kasha. Why don't you have Sveika D'Yoma for the Sphir Soima? So Rav Soloveitchik said that he, the Kovner Rav, was also from the Soloveitchik family, and he learned the Malosh, and he learned Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So the Kovner Rav used to go sometimes to Germany for vacation. He lived in Kovner, but Rav Soloveitchik used to go visit him, to talk to him and learn, because he was Mishpacha, he was from the Soloveitchik family. So this is in his Sefer. The Rav Ram has it in his Sefer. Rav Soloveitchik didn't know what he has in his Sefer, he just heard about that from him. So the Kovner Rav says, if you're going to count Sphir Soima, Sveika D'Yoma, you kill the whole mitzvah. If you're counting, you have to know what you're counting. The Magen Avraham says, if you're counting in Hebrew, you don't understand Hebrew, they just say this line, the guy says, and he doesn't know what he's saying, so he's not yotzei the mitzvah. You have to say it in a language that you understand. And counting has to be klor, and daitlach, you have to know what you're counting. So the Gemara has such a klal, when you mafresh ma'aseh behemah, so the Gemara has a famous line in the first parak in Bava Metzia, asiri vade v'loy asiri sofik. If you're not sure whether this is number 10, you have all the animals that were born in the course of the year in the corral, and then they go through one by one, you count 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10. So if you have one of the animals that's not chai v'maaseh behemah, and they got all mixed up, you don't know which is which, so you can't be mafresh ma'aseh behemah ala sofik. It has to be asiri vade v'loy asiri sofik. That's what the Kovner Rav said, that you're going to count Sphir Soima, Misafek, so you kill the whole mitzvah, there's no mitzvah at all. But Jim and Shkop heard the Teretz, and he forgot who said it. So he wrote the Sefer Shari Yoshen. So he writes, he saw somewhere in the Sefer, he forgot where, that just like Asiri Vadevale, Asiri Safek, by Maisa Behem, so too by Sphir Soima, if you're going to count Misafek, you'll kill the whole mitzvah, you won't be able to. He forgot there was a contemporary of his. The Kovner Rav is the one who said that. He quotes this in the Shari Yosher in his famous Sefer without quoting him. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that teretz. He said, he asked the Kovner Rav, if that's so, that whenever you count Sveika D'Yoma, you're not Yotze. So what did they do before the days of Abai V'Rabba, before they had a Luach Kavua? That a real Sveika D'Yoma. So you need to tell me that they never counted Sphira Saima. How come it never says in the Gemara? That when they had a real Rabbi Shmuel lived way before Abai V'Rabba. They had a real Sveika D'Yoma, so they never counted Sphira Soima. Wouldn't appear so anymore. Sounds like they always counted Sveika D'Yoma. So he said the Kovner Rav was stunned when he asked him that kasha, and he didn't know what to answer. In the Sefer and the Rav Ram, he already touches on that kasha. Also, he softens the kasha. He does away with that. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the answer is a different answer. Why don't the kasha with the Raivin and the Balamor? How come we don't observe Sveika D'Yoma by Sphira Soima? Rav Soloveitchik said, Sveika D'Yoma is only on in Yoni Yontif. The Gemara even had a machlokes whether you say Sveika D'Yoma Anisa Chodosh or not. Because the Chodosh becomes Mutter on the first day Chalamat Pesach, that's Yontif. So we paskan that there is Sveika D'Yoma. But the first mandam held no, only in Yonim of Yontif. Not even Chodosh. So Sphira Soima is for 49 days after. It begins on Yontif, but it doesn't continue in Yontif. So since it's not really Makusha with Yontif, say that we know there's no real Sfek of the Yontif. It's only they sent a letter, Shalcha Mitam, sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael, they should continue to deserve Sfek of the Yontif, but again, the Kedusha Sayyam of Yontif. But the Inyan of Sfer Sayyam is not related to the Kedusha Sayyam. So that's what he thought, that's the Teretz. There's no Sfek of the Yontif there. The Rav had so much, so many beautiful ideas. Ankola Tarakuli had a Rav Soloveitchik's yard site is on Pesach. He's done a Chalam on Pesach. Should be the Zeich and Nishmas. A good yond of everybody.
If we're trying to preserve the Sfeika of the Yoma, why is our calendar set up in such a way that the first day is always the Araisa and the second day is always the Rabbanan? It should be that sometimes the first day is the Araisa, sometimes the second day is the Araisa.
We know that the first day is the real day, the second day is a fake. But the Chachamim said we should still continue with that practice as if there were really a Sfeika of the Yoma. But there really isn't. There's no real Sfeika of the Yoma.
Why didn't we set up a calendar? Okay, I'll let you. He's gonna dive in.